All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Thursday, March 16th. Yes, we're back live for a day, maybe two, before I head back to an undisclosed location. But for now, it's a beautiful day on Lake Wissota. And I can say that because it's 40 degrees at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is a really nice way to come home when you've been off on a business trip and your flight is delayed 2 hours and you don't get in till after midnight. And you dread the thought of having to go out to your car, which is on the top floor of the parking ramp. So it's not protected from the elements. And you're thinking the worst of scraping snow and ice off your vehicle. And it's 40. 40 is a nice way to go. I can deal with that. So it's good to be here for, like I said, for a little bit here, catching up on things because we have a very big show, especially our second hour today. In our first hour, we will ask Republicans in the legislature, who do you think you're fooling? You might note it. You might have noticed this week that they staged a little political theater, introducing a bill that they claim would moderate some of the archaic and unpopular portions of an 1849 abortion ban. Although, interestingly enough, the move is being made shortly before an important state Supreme Court election. And they didn't do it last year when they had the chance to actually show voters that they have actual intent to be more moderate than they really are. And speaking of said Supreme Court election, we are now just 19 days away from Wisconsin's huge state Supreme Court race. And we will be joined by candidate and Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz, along with former state treasurer Sarah Godlewski. And we will talk much more about the importance of having a plan to vote on April 4th, because we'll say again, even though you're hearing about this election nonstop, and maybe you personally have always intended to vote in it, these spring elections don't get nearly the amount of voter turnout that you'd get in a presidential election or any other fall election. There's still a lot of people in the state who aren't going to vote April 4th. And so the ones who do will have disproportionate power to determine who is going to control the Wisconsin Supreme Court and everything that comes along with it. And there's more today yet. We have our hometown health segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She will be joined by the president of the Wisconsin Medical Society, Dr. Wendy Malaska, to discuss the increased challenges of attracting and retaining quality physicians, especially when politicians put themselves between their patients and their doctors. So we have a lot to cover on this Thursday. By the way, Aaron Rodgers is gone too. We'll get to that too. If you'd like to reach us during the show here, 715-388-7155 is our Up North studio line number, or 844-967-2789 is the main studio line. And either way, one Aaron Zommers will be here to pick up the phone at our Madison Control Center there. Mr. Zommers, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. You know, it's nice having you here every day. It's also nice getting a little bit of extra sleep. So I have had that the last few days.
So you're saying life with me is a win-win. Either we have a nice show together or you get to sleep in.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Okay, well, I'll look at this hour of the day and with this much sleep deprivation, I will take any kind of compliment I can get at this point. Aaron and I have not had a chance to visit, and we're going to in a bit here about our schedules this week, because in what I can only call a coincidence of Powerball-esque proportions, there were two work retreats this week. And as you know, I work for two different entities. I work for Up North News, which is a part of Courier Newsroom. And I work here on the family of Civic Media radio stations. And I had already planned previously to attend the Courier Newsroom work retreat out in California this week, the one I got back from just a couple of hours ago. And then shortly after that, the civic media folks said, oh, yeah, we're planning a retreat for this period as well. And so I saw some photos up on social media. It looked like everybody was having a good time. I'm assuming you learned a few things and that it was time well spent. And that much like any kid who's been sick and missed all the homework, I'm going to copy all your notes at some point. But it looked like it went well.
Well, we're both going to have to copy Luke Mather's notes because I did not actually go.
Well, a fat lot of good this is going to do us. However, but wait, there's more. I didn't even mention Luke Mathers. It's Thursday. He's supposed to join us at 7:50. So needless to say, we're just going to jump him right away. And we're going to have 9 minutes of full debriefing on what happened at the Civic Media Radio Retreat and see what all we learned. Like I said, it looked fun. So did you just slept in that much? Did you enjoy that much not having a show that you just decided to, you know, just keep resting?
No, not this time.
Okay.
No, after Todd's show, I ended up having to be there the whole time because he wasn't sure if he was going to do a replay or have a guest host. He ended up having a guest host.
Okay. And, okay. Yeah. I've watched the other shows have guest hosts, and by the way, for those folks going, well, you had reruns the past couple of days, and yeah, I'll have reruns in the future here too, because finding somebody who wants to fill in on the occasional basis of having to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to host a 6 a.m. radio show is not as easy as it sounds, and it doesn't sound easy at all. So needless to say, if you'd like to apply for the job, be in touch with Civic Media and say, hey, I want to fill in for Pat Kreitlow, or better yet, why don't you just get rid of him and replace him with me? If you've got that intent, brother, sister, I want to hear from you. Let's take a break. We'll go over some headlines and more next. You're up north. It's not until you're actually out in California that you understand why there's so many songs about it, so many movies, so much that can say. It just lends itself to storytelling, good and bad. I mean, it is the sunny Pacific Coast. It is the place where dreams are made. It's the place where dreams are crushed. And it's the place where the weather is not always sunny. In fact, my Facebook post yesterday had the old, what was his name? It never rains in Southern California. I was going to say not Morris Albert. I've got it in there someplace, but anyway, so there it is, raining and raining and raining and raining in the place where I was at these past couple of days, which was somewhere between San Diego and Los Angeles, as they got what I'm sure you've heard by now is the atmospheric river of rain that moved across there. And while it's only a couple of inches, when you've got nothing but hills all around and gravity does its thing, a couple inches of rain can look real big, real fast, you know, as it comes downhill and gathers in this place and that and blocks the roads and everything else that comes with it. And so there I was in my San Diego Padres hoodie. And you might be thinking, did you really buy a San Diego Padres hoodie just for a couple of inches of rain? And the answer would be no, I did not. I actually bought that hoodie about 10 years ago on my first ever trip to San Diego, when it was also quite chilly at night. And the only way not to die of hypothermia while watching a game at Petco Park was to buy a very expensive hoodie at the stadium. And I've had that ever since. And then I brought it along for this second ever trip to San Diego, you know, just in case. And of course, it came in handy once again. So a pretty part of the country, but the weather... the weather's going to do what it does now and then. And you come to understand the volatility of an area that has the coast, it has the mountains, it has deserts. I mean, I remember we talked, was it 3 weeks ago, maybe, that they were having the first ever blizzard warnings for San Diego County and Los Angeles County, obviously not the whole county, but for the mountain parts of it. And, you know, the weather's just been that unusual lately. But we're used to that up here anyway. We're used to volatile weather. I mean, come on, it was in the 40, 45 last night as I was driving home about midnight. And yet the forecast is also going to have, you know, cold temperatures once again. I'm sure we're going to get snow one more time. And it's something that, you know, we deal with on a more regular basis up here. And like I said, we don't have the extremes that they have in California. We also don't have earthquakes. We don't have mudslides. I saw plenty of mudslides on news coverage yesterday. So it definitely works both ways. And, you know, compare that to, you know, where Aaron's colleagues were, which was a hotel in Middleton, I believe. So not quite, yep, San Diego.
Not exactly.
I think it was a Motel 6 or a Spring Hill Suites or something like that. But these retreats, these get togethers can be really nice. They can, you can either get people to come closer together through the dreaded, you know, team building exercises and the discussions. You can also, of course, have things go completely sideways, which is why I'm really looking forward to, you know, what Mr. Mathers has to say. How did the discussions go? How are the guest speakers? And then I think we're all going to compare notes on when you have, especially in the media business, when you have some kind of a work function like this, it takes you out of your normal routine. And then everybody's phone begins pinging with some kind of breaking news, and you can't be the one to break it. How does that feel? Because there I was in the shuttle heading back to the airport yesterday morning when the news finally comes down that our long national nightmare is over and the Aaron Rodgers soap opera has ended, we think, with him saying that he intends to go to the New York Jets, although, again, not worked out. Aaron shaking his head too, like, well, I'll believe it when I hear it.
Yeah, I do think that's what's going to happen. But the fact that he's just saying he intends to and is not actually announcing a deal, he's just milking every second of this.
Well, and he does get this chance to express his dissatisfaction with the team, that this isn't, you know, it's not going fast enough for him. But he's not in a position to say how fast it goes. And if the Jets and the Packers, if they need more time to figure out, you know, how this is going to work out, you know, that's on them. The thing that I thought was most comical, shall we say, in Rodgers speaking on the Pat McAfee show on YouTube, the thing that I found comical is when he said that after he got out of his darkness retreat on Friday, he said that he then had the feeling like the team had moved on and that it was time for him to go to the Jets. And I thought, are you kidding me? You just came to this realization that, oh, maybe it's time to move on. What have we been talking about all last offseason and then all of this offseason at this point? It's like he suddenly plugged in and said, oh, hey, wait, I think everybody's talking about me, that maybe I ought to think about switching teams. Come on. Come on, stop. You know, this has been a thing since last year, and still it's going on.
Yeah, at the very least, we can rest in the knowledge that we have better retreats than him. We either go in a motel or California, whereas he goes in a dark box.
He goes into a room of darkness, a fortress of solitude. Although I will say, to be fair, I did do something somewhat the same during one day of our retreat when something ran way long. And as a result, we didn't get our break and we had to kind of compress our lunch break. And then the next event kind of got skipped. And then the next event ended a bit early. So we found ourselves with a bit of a hole in our schedule. And the person running the retreat said, well, so we've got this little hole in our schedule. What do you want to do? And everybody was like, break. We want a break. Please let us take a break. And some people went to the hotel bar. Other people like me just went to go lay down for a bit. And again, because we started early, we had the jet lag, everything else that was going on. And on top of all that, this is where Grandpa gets to complain now. I have been nursing such a stiff back since Monday. You'll recall that it snowed all weekend long up here on Lake Wissota. Light snow, but it snowed the entire weekend. And Monday morning, the very last thing I did before getting in the car and going to the airport to fly to California, the last thing I did was to shovel out just the very foot of the driveway where the snow plow came through and left a little extra snow down there at the foot of the driveway. And I've snowed plenty of times. I know how to do it. Use the knees instead of the back. Don't twist, blah, blah, blah. But all you got to do is make one wrong move. And I made one wrong move and I felt it right away on the right lower part of my back. And you just know that, well, the next week or so is not going to be pleasant. And I'll tell you what, I don't mean to put this image in your head necessarily, but if you're looking for a good comedic image, try to imagine these past 3 days of me trying to put on socks when you can't exactly bend over. It's been one of those things. So yeah, so when we took breaks during this retreat, did I go lay down? Oh, you bet I did. But again, we started this segment talking about the weather, and the weather plays a role in everything, whatever we do here. So we were there when we were hearing the news about Rodgers and moving on. And, you know, I guess I would refer to it as deja vu instead of deja vu, because again, the parallels with what Brett Favre did is, you know, you can't help but notice it. The whole kind of whining in the last part of your contract, and then, you know, talking about sticking around, making noise about retiring, and inevitably going to the New York Jets, which is a really weird coincidence here. But it has certainly made people wonder, does Rodgers continue to stay on this trajectory? I mean, at some point, does he begin stealing from welfare programs in Mississippi, like some people think Favre has done?
I sure hope not.
I would hope not, too. Although, again, I think Rodgers will, he's much more likely to go Hollywood. I mean, I would not have been surprised if one of the LA teams, you know, or the Raiders, you know, I'm really still surprised that the Las Vegas, formerly Oakland, formerly LA, formerly Oakland Raiders didn't make more of a play for him. But given how many celebrities he has dated, maybe he did feel like it was time to move over to the New York side of things. Now, Favre did, he had his ups and downs. When he left the Packers, he did have a couple of times where he raised eyebrows and people said, did we let him go too early? Is he about to take the Vikings to the Super Bowl? And, you know, he ultimately did not. But why wouldn't you think the same thing about Rodgers? He still has some gas in the tank. It's just that it's not nearly what we thought that we were paying for here in Green Bay. I mean, who would have thought in 2011, if I'm not mistaken, when we saw the Packers in the Super Bowl, that would be the last time we would see the Packers in the Super Bowl. That there were times when we came tantalizingly close, but nothing since then. So away we go, apparently, on the era of love, Jordan Love, and seeing if he can follow in the same bit of deja vu, given that Rodgers basically held Favre's clipboard for three seasons. Well, guess what? Love has been backing up Rodgers for three seasons now, ever since the Packers traded up to take the former Utah State quarterback with the 26th overall pick in the first round. And, you know, remember, Rodgers is much like Favre, you know, was caught off guard, didn't like it. Again, you know, the two quarterbacks say they eventually patched things up, but it apparently did something to Rodgers. If it was supposed to motivate him, it certainly did. He won a couple more MVP awards, but in terms of getting the team, you know, back to the Super Bowl, that didn't happen. So now we see if either Jordan Love does this or if the Packers make some other moves. You know, we don't yet know exactly what all we're getting from the Jets in terms of draft picks and players and things like that. So we enter this era of uncertainty in Wisconsin. And again, like the weather, we're used to uncertainty. We're used to a level of volatility here, and we'll watch the green and gold. We're still going to cheer for them like we do all the time. If you missed it before, I tell the story of how my wife converted me to a Packer fan, as someone who was born and raised in Minnesota, but came to college here, you know, met a nice farm girl from here. And she had said to me back in the late 80s, you know, she said, you really should just since you know you're staying in Wisconsin, just root for the Packers. We never win. Again, remember, this was the late 80s. And in all of her life, the Packers had never done anything. You know, the 70s were an awful period for the Packers. But she said, you know what? We still cheer every Sunday. We still have fun. And I thought, you know what? She's right. You know, the Vikings had lost 23 Super Bowls during the 1970s. I think the math works out on that. And so I thought, sure, why not? And then some guy named Brett Favre came along. So I've never actually lived through an era in my adult life where the Packers were a bad team. And so even if they are heading into that period, we're still going to cheer for them. We're still going to have fun. We're going to thank Rodgers and Favre for the good times. But, you know, Sunday football is still going to happen here in Wisconsin, and we're going to enjoy it one way or another because that's what we do best. Let's take a break. More after this. You're Up North.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, it's so nice to be with you. I love all the things you say and do.
So our theme here about being nice to get together, especially in this modern COVID-era workforce, where many of us work at places that are increasingly decentralized. We are not together in a single newsroom. We are not together in a single radio station. And especially for Up North News and Courier Newsroom, I mean, we're 8 different state-based newsrooms. And yet over the 3+ years of our existence, we'd never been able to get everybody together because of COVID and certainly because of distance as well. So it was really nice to gather folks together and get to see people in 3 dimensions, though I will tell you it was a little unusual at first because we are people that have only seen each other through Zoom screens by and large. And then when you finally see them in person, like Kristen Lyerly, you go, oh my gosh, you're taller than I thought.
Yeah, yep. I know I had that happen the first time I met you.
Who, me?
Yeah. Because I've only ever seen you sitting down until I met you.
Right. And I met some of these Courier Newsroom folks. Some were much taller than I was expecting. Some we're just all different when we're in 3 dimensions. And yeah, Kristen, the first time I met her, I'm like, I did not know you were 7'1". This is really impressive.
Your answer is the best. Who, me?
Oh, because one of my colleagues thought she'd be funny because we were joking about that. I could hear them joking about it as I entered the room. And she says, oh, you're a lot shorter than I imagined. I'm like, all right, great. Thanks. Nice to meet you too in person finally. Which, by the way, so I don't regret the fact that, again, we got in after midnight last night with that 2-hour delay getting out of San Diego. So she missed her connection to somewhere in Michigan. And she and a couple of other folks had to actually sleep in airports or airport hotels overnight. And, you know, after starting the whole thing off with, gosh, you're shorter than I thought. You know what? I don't mind. You go sleep in that airport. That's okay. I'm nice that way, right, Kristen?
Yes. Bail me out. You're nice that way, Pat.
Yeah, you said that. I will. A couple of folks, as we were saying our goodbyes yesterday, were saying, you know, gosh, you're just always so nice. One of them said, you're kind of like our Ted Lasso. You're just always so positive. And I said, oh my God, can you really not hear the evil voices and sarcasm in my head? Because I really think it comes out more often than it does. But apparently only you guys know just how dark and sarcastic I can be.
No, I think the Ted Lasso comparison is spot on. What do you think, Aaron?
I haven't seen Ted Lasso.
What?
See, this is how you know we don't rehearse these bits, because sometimes you think you're going to hear something and then somebody else just kind of throws the brakes on the whole thing here. Which reminds me, the new season came out this week, Ted Lasso. So now we got something to watch here.
Yeah, that's so good.
I'll have to watch it so that I can affirm that comparison.
There you go. That's not reason enough to watch it, but sure, go for that.
You'll enjoy it. It'll make you feel good.
Yep. So let's see, Dr. Lyerly, you are out in Minnesota again, out in the southwestern part of the state, I would imagine.
Yeah, I got here about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Really? So you too were a late night traveler.
Yeah, it's been a series of a couple of days. I think it's going to be that way for the next few weeks.
Well, last we talked, you were driving back the other way. You're driving back to Green Bay from Minnesota because one of your sons was going to be in a play, I believe. And how did that go?
It went great. A lot of things have happened in a short period of time. And that's life, man. I mean, you just have to be there when you can. And when you can't, you just do the best that you can.
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's, I was saying that with the two different retreats that I could have gone to, but had to pick one or the other. And schedules get messy sometimes. You know, there's a whole, when it rains, it pours, you know, feast or famine, thing to it. And you squeeze in little bits of relaxation where you can. Like for us, it was on Sunday night. It was the Oscars. I don't know if you got a chance to even watch that, or if you were traveling hither and yon at that point.
I was here. I watched it. I cried like a baby.
Why?
Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, God. When she mentioned her parents, I teared up too. Yes.
And Short Round, he was so sweet. He was so excited. And the name of it, Michelle Yao, mm-hmm. when she won her Oscar. I mean, there were so many moments. John Travolta, I'm not a John Travolta fan, mm-hmm. but when he came out and you could see that he just didn't look well. And suddenly it dawned on me, he was out there because of Olivia Newton-John. He was doing the In Memoriam. I mean, there were so many moments where I was just like, not another one. Aww. My gosh.
I heard now, I have to admit, I went to sleep. I wanted to see the In Memoriam, and I'm betting I probably went to sleep like 2 minutes before it came on. And that like the people that every year they seem to miss them, but they miss Paul Sorvino, you know, and every year it seems like they miss somebody. You go, how did you forget that person died, you know, in the past year?
Wow.
I know. But it was still a good experience. But I will say on the flight last night, somebody in front of me started Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh my.
And as you know, people come down in one of two camps. They either think it's the best picture of the year, or I saw this person bail out at some point midway through. I could tell they were having the same reaction a lot of other people. Like, what is this? You know, it's kind of this weird science fiction-y multiverse thing that is, it's not for everybody, but if it's for you, apparently the storytelling really speaks to you.
I think you have to go into that movie with an open mind. And for me, my kids prepped me for it, mm-hmm. especially for some of the spicier scenes. So I knew what was happening. And that way I could just focus on the quality of the movie. And really, like, it was a beautifully made movie, but it mm-hmm. was just a very unusual, the content was unusual.
That's definitely the impression that I got. Well, for as much as we've been traveling and as much as we try to enjoy, you know, some moments of levity where we can get them. The fact of the matter is this has been a busy week news-wise, politically speaking, it's been, shall we say, unusual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we'll try to hit a couple examples here. And you can't help but start with members of the Wisconsin legislature, the Republicans who control it, bringing up legislation this week that I don't know who they thought they were fooling, that somehow it claimed that, oh, yeah, we know we've said that we're glad this 1849 abortion ban came back, but we want to appear to be moderate and reasonable. So we're going to introduce this legislation that would now allow for some exceptions for rape and incest. And I know we could have done it last year, but we didn't. And yeah, there's the state Supreme Court election, but that's not really why we're doing this, right? We're suddenly moderates. Who do they think they're fooling?
Especially right now, they suddenly, at this very moment, 3 weeks before the election, when our ballots are arriving in our mailboxes, they're moderate, using words like rape and incest, like they're just bargaining chips, but they're not. These are traumatic, horrible things that happen to people. And this, to me, is political malpractice. This just so clearly defines how they have no idea what the needs of their constituents are.
Well, because they don't even understand. How do I put this? It's like they don't understand the horror and everything that is involved with rape and with incest, and they don't understand the medical terminology here, as you explained in a post last night. You know, every time you hear the phrase miscarriage, think abortion, because that's partially what's happening here.
It is a spontaneous abortion.
Right.
That is, so many of my friends and patients have called me to say, when I had a miscarriage, it says in my chart, abortion. I didn't have an abortion. I had a miscarriage. And then we have to gingerly explain to them that that's the terminology that we use, because that's actually what it is. And until politicians co-opted that word and gave it this binary definition, it was just part of medical practice. This is just another place where politicians have created this shameful environment just by using their words to suppress us and keep us down and to control us. And you know, we're not going to do it anymore.
And suppression is right, again, because if you have been through the horror of being sexually assaulted through rape, incest, or what have you, there's no place for some external force, government, a politician, a religious person who is not your own pastor or priest or whatever, there is no place for them in this. And so for somebody like Assemblywoman Lazar from Marshfield to say, as other Republican politicians have said in the past, that, well, we believe that something good can come of a rape, you know, talking about the baby. Again, who do you think you're fooling when that's how you talk about sexual assault and you deciding to control what that victim then continues to go through?
And to hear a woman say that, mm-hmm. And you know, something good can come from a rape, but you don't get to determine that. The mm-hmm. people who are dealing with that situation, it's so deeply personal. And the person who is affected is the only person who can make that decision. So, you know, this is just another one of those ridiculous posturing situations that keep happening in the Wisconsin legislature
And it's not just Wisconsin, where, again, you have politicians inserting themselves either in place of, you know, we know better than the victim, or we know better than the doctor. And as we know, there is a case now where a Texas judge is this close to deciding that even though the FDA, the scientists, the doctors, the experts are telling you that these medications are safe and effective and can be used, but now because we call them an abortion pill, that a judge can overrule the scientists and say that he's going to decide whether women and their doctors have access to this or not. It defies logic. And yet that is, again, the reality of politics today.
Hey, overriding over 20 years of experience with this medication that, by the way, is not only used for abortions, but it's right. also used for miscarriage management. We're back to miscarriages. So what this means is we can just use a one drug regimen to help these people, but it makes the regimen that much less effective. So then we're going to be seeing more people in emergency departments with more bleeding, costing them more money to manage their situations, more time away from work, more heartbreak. It just makes everything less efficient for people who are already suffering. Why? Why would you do that? But wait, it's the U.S. healthcare system, so mm-hmm. yeah. I guess it's not all that surprising.
It's not all that surprising. And then when you talk about time away from work, it gets us back to the notion of paid leave. Paid leave is something we don't have here to nearly the degree in other countries that have understood that the health, the collective health of our people, and that people themselves come before work, come before the corporations. And this is the only place that always is emphasizing first, are you working? Are you working for us? And if you're not working the way that we think you should be working, then you are a deadbeat. You know, they love to bring that out, or a welfare queen, or whatever the case may be. And we're even getting into that this week. We don't have time to get into this, but just the whole notion of school lunches. you know, breakfasts and lunches that Governor Evers and others say, why don't we take that off the table? And why don't we just make sure kids are fed? And we're hearing people pushing back on that, saying, well, we don't have an obligation to feed every kid. Real pro-life there, huh?
Well, it's just the kids, Pat.
It's just the kids. And, you know, meanwhile, in Arkansas this week, Sarah Huckabee Sanders signed a bill that rolled back, workforce restrictions on children so that more children can work more hours. I mean, again, real pro-child going on here. So, again, the whole theme of this show, this hour, has been, who do you think you're fooling? And the short answer is fewer people all the time. So I'm glad we could cover a few of these. Maybe we'll do some more after the history break, a little music as well, if you don't mind, you know, spinning some tunes with me next.
I was dreaming about it last night as I was driving into town, as a matter of fact.
Okay, well.
You think I'm kidding. I'm not.
now I got to look at this list and hope it lives up to the hype. Okay, history lesson and a music break after this. You're up north. And it's so nice to hear you
say. Real good fine time drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter. Working for the Yankee Dollar.
Well, with the things you learn in time, here's what I thought was one of the more innocent songs out there in the world. This is Rum and Coca-Cola by the Andrews Sisters. It was the number one song on this day in 1945.
Oh.
And only recently did I learn that this is really nothing more than a very thinly sanitized cover of a Calypso song about American servicemen in the Caribbean who get drunk and solicit all the local girls as prostitutes. I mean, even then, that clip we just played, the chorus ends with mother and daughter working for the Yankee dollar, which is, you know, the phrase that they were using down in Trinidad at the time. And the Andrews Sisters were like, we didn't know. It was a song lyric. We just sang the song lyric. So
if only Tipper Gore had known about that song.
Tipper Gore's grandma. Hopefully she wasn't in, you know, hopefully she wasn't in Trinidad at the time. So, and I think about that because I worked, my summer job for all four summers of high school was at Valley Fair, the amusement park in the Twin Cities. And of course there's always, you know, there's a music track that plays, you know, at all these amusement parks. And this was one of the songs on there. So I've heard Rum and Coca-Cola many a time. And never for a moment understood the history behind it, but I do now. All right, birthday time. Let's see. Nancy Wilson of Heart is 69 years old today. Usually her sister Anne sings the songs and she plays guitar, but Nancy was the lead vocalist on these streams. Nancy is the younger sister with Anne. Nancy and Anne were born in San Francisco. And again, a very pioneering history in rock and roll in terms of women who were fronting a band. And I haven't seen, I know I've mentioned a couple of times, I'm really starting to get into music documentaries of various mm-hmm. bands and things. I haven't seen one of Heart. But I'll bet it's just an amazing story of what those early years were like. And then really, you know, asserting themselves and becoming the leaders that they are in the music business. But it's never easy when you're a pioneer in something.
And they were in the rock business. They weren't in some other softer, more gentle genre. They were like killing it.
Yeah, they sure were. All right. Another couple more birthdays here. William Jonathan Drayton Jr., except you don't know him as William Jonathan Drayton Jr. You know him as Flavor Flav, and he is 64 years old today. Rapper with Public Enemy and later a reality TV star. Actress Lauren Graham of the Gilmore Girls is 56 years old today. Actress Alexandra Daddario of White Lotus fame is 37. And back to music, Wolfgang Van Halen is 32. The son of Eddie Van Halen and Valerie Bertinelli is 32 and quite the guitarist in his own right. Let's see, back to number one songs. This day, 1968.
Mm.
sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
This, of course, is Otis Redding doing Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. The historical note about this, the bittersweet note, is that it is the first ever posthumous number one because he had passed away about 3 months earlier in December of 67. But it hit number one on this day. That would be March 16th, 1968.
And Pat, the Wisconsin connection, he passed away in a plane crash into Lake Monona.
Right. Yep. And speaking of songs that were, people who have passed away, this next one is actually more of a tribute song. It's two tribute songs. On this day in 1985, Night Shift by the Commodores, which was a tribute to Jackie Wilson and Marvin Gaye, took over the top of the chart. The song that it replaced was Diana Ross's song Missing You, which was also a tribute to Marvin Gaye that had been written by former Commodore Lionel Richie. So you had a couple of different tribute songs for Marvin Gaye after his very unfortunate murder at the hands of his own father. And then on this day in 1999, 10 by Pearl Jam was certified diamond with 10 million in U.S. sales. What'd you pick for us on this one, Aaron?
This is Even Flow.
Oh, yeah, I can hear that now. Here's another
drum track, Aaron. Nice job.
Yeah. Here's one that I think not enough people get to hear about. This is the anniversary of the birth of former U.S. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan. Born on this day in 1927, he passed away in 2003. He famously uttered the line, "Everyone is entitled to his own opinion, but not his own facts." That was a column he wrote in 1983 in the Washington Post, based on an earlier quote from James Schlesinger. And I can't tell you how many times I've thought back to that line and told people it's not true anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but not their own facts. But now you've got a right-wing media bubble that has created their own fact. You know, Kelly Conway called them alternative facts.
Yep.
Which are not facts, but to them, you know, it's all perception. It's all perception for them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what Senator Moynihan would say if he was still with us. I just know that what he would say would be sharper and more insightful than anything the rest of us could come up with. And we are worse off for not having, you know, the power of his words in our world anymore. Especially,
but that's why we're here. That's why we're here, is to share facts and truth and to unpack things.
Mm-hmm. And I will grant you, not nearly with his eloquence, but we got to be here. We got to be doing these things. So I'm glad that we are, and I'm glad you're here to help out with it. I've been noting recently, also in this history break coverage from the Up North News newsletters over these past 3 years, and you can't help but note that today, and then of course tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day, if you go back to 2020 and those first days where, I mean, COVID really became real when it was, you know, the St. Patrick's Day shutdowns with just a couple of hours notice, mm-hmm. bars and restaurants and everything else. But I will also note that at the same time, there was an emergency coronavirus aid package. It passed overwhelmingly on this date in 2020, 363-40. Tons of Republicans voted for it. Not any Wisconsin Republicans, including Ron Johnson, who was the first senator to publicly declare his opposition to the bill. And Johnson also voted against any emergency sick leave for people who were left jobless by the outbreak, saying it's incentivizing people to not show up for work. That's right, folks. Ron Johnson said the people who were just left unemployed by a pandemic, you can't give them assistance because then they're incentivized to not show up for work for the job they don't have anymore. Sad. That's our Ron Johnson. Mm-hmm. Six more years, baby. Six more years. Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz and Sarah Godlewski join us at the top of the next hour. Kristen Lyerly has a guest at 7:30. Hometown Health, the president of the State Medical Society. We have a very busy next hour ahead, Kristen. Can you believe this?
I can. It feels good. A little bit like a Monday, but also it's such a great Thursday.
We'll be back. You're up north.